1 John chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 4. Last week we started talking about, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, right? Our motivator for loving Him is that He loved me. We love Him because He first loved us, the Scripture says. And I think if we can get a hold of that, of truly how much He loves us, what a transforming thing that would have in our lives. This past week, I was reading something, and there was a gentleman. He started to add something to his prayer, and he started saying, "Lord, help me see my sin like You see it. Help me see my sin like You see it." And he says that as he started to pray that, he goes, part of him started to become kind of disgusted with himself, because he started to say, "Wow, you know, I'm really that bad, my thoughts? Oh, wow. I shouldn't be having this thoughts. Or what I've been doing, and, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. It's like, oh, wow. And all of a sudden now that appetite started to wane a little bit." And he goes, what he's done is, "Lord, thank You still Your love, even though I'm despicable. Thank You for Your love. That, Lord, despite all this, Lord, just help me to live and change." And he goes, it had a transforming thing in his life. It really started to affect his appetite for sin. Has anyone here ever tried to go on a diet? I won't ask for a show of hands. I won't do that. I'll put my hand up, though. You know, I probably got the same 20 pounds. You know, I lose it, and I find it, bring it back, and I lose it, bring it back. And usually when it comes back, it finds a friend. You know, so it's kind of creeping up as we go along. And I've done the I'm going to diet, and I'm going to, you know, buckle down and have willpower. Now, that lasts for a while. You know, I did one of these low-carb diets, you know, cut out sugar. And it worked. I did that for almost for a year. And I lost a bunch of weight. And but man, all of a sudden I had a hankering. And I'm not a guy who likes sweet things. You know, I like greasy, fatty foods. You know, I'd rather have a chicken wing than a hot dog. But all of a sudden, I deprived myself of sweets for such a long time. I started having a hankering for Twinkies. I don't even like Twinkies. But all of a sudden, I wanted a Twinkie. And that's actually, I broke the whole diet because I walked in and I bought a 6-pack of Twinkies. And I ate 6 Twinkies. I got in the car. Don't laugh at me. You know? I sat down and I whooped those down. And they were horrible. They were nasty, but I couldn't stop. Right? We're taught, well, if will is enough, right? And sometimes we approach sin that way. If the pastor just guilts me enough, right? Or if I just have enough willpower, I will change. And that's really not the biblical model that he gives us. Now in here, what happens is, Lord, change my appetite for sin. I remember talking to a young lady, and she goes, "I will never eat another hot dog again." Now, I love hot dogs. You know, they're processed, they're full of junk. I mean, it's just, you know, they'll last forever, right? I remember years ago, they said they dug up an old dump and they found a hot dog from the 50s, and it still looked just like it did the day they buried it, you know? You know, they just, you know, so full of, my thought is, look, if it's preserved, if I eat it, it'll preserve me. Right? You know, I don't know if it works that way. But in here, you know, she goes, "I will never eat another hot dog again." I said, "Well, why?" She goes, "She watched a video on how hot dogs are made." And she goes, "It's disgusting." She goes, "Once you do that," she goes, "you will never want eating a hot dog again." So I haven't watched it because I want to eat my hot dog. Right? But it's interesting because once we get our mind in a place, it changes our appetite for things. You know, I talked to a gentleman who wanted to give up smoking for a very long time. And he wrestled with it on and off. And it was just a matter of willpower. Well, he went to the doctor and he diagnosed him with lung cancer. You know what? He never picked up another cigarette again. Right? Because the thrill was gone. The appetite was gone. It wasn't a matter of will anymore, right? It was a change of mind that happened in his life. And it's fun to talk about dieting and some of these other things in our lives, but do we have that effect in sin? 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to start reading in verse 4. My goal is to get down to verse 15. I don't know if we'll get that far, but we'll see how it goes. Verse 4 says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin, and whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever is born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he was born of God." Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, illuminate the text. Lord, be our teacher, Lord. Show us what You want us to know. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen. What I want to look through is we look at in John here, we talk about this idea of sin. And then you talk about our relationship to sin. As we are Christians, Christ died for our sins. We show that this morning through communion. This is what my sin made Jesus do. He had to die for my sins. And now I'm saved. He has forgiven me, right? And we go back to the beginning of the chapter. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, right? Look at the love. This morning we demonstrated His love. He loved you enough to give His Son for you. Amen? That was pathetic. Amen? There you go. It's okay. We're not Baptists. You can say amen. But anyway, we praise the Lord for that. And we remember what He did for us. Now, does that mean that I'm forgiven? Yes. Does that mean I'm perfect? No. No. Then in here, I still have sin in my life. But John starts talking about, wait a minute, if you're truly saved, what's the role of sin in your life? Right? If this is what He did to pay the penalty for my sins, then what do I do with that sin that still remains? It's forgiven, but we live in that reality. Right? And in here, as long as we are in this flesh, we are going to wrestle with sin. Some of it is what we do. Some of it is what we think. Right? You know, I've said this several times, I'll keep saying it. You know, I might look like a good person. You might think I'm a wonderful person. But you know what? You should be glad you don't know my thoughts. Be thankful you don't know my desires. And in this, God sees us and still loves us. But in Romans chapter 7, keep your finger here in John, because we're going to come back to John. But flip over to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, Paul explains the wrestle he has in his life. So Romans chapter 7, we're looking at verse 15. Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 15. Because here's the Apostle Paul. You know, God used him to write most of the New Testament. You know, Paul has it all together. Right? Sometimes we look at these spiritual giants and say, oh, they got it all worked out. I want you to take a look at what Paul says here. Romans chapter... I didn't do that way. All right. Here we go. Romans chapter 7. Where is it? There we go. Paul goes on here and says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, no good thing dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. But that sin that dwells in me. It says, now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Now here's a sort of a tongue twister of a passage to read through. But basically, long story short, Paul says, you know what? As a Christian, I know there's some things that I'm supposed to do. Right? And we can associate, right? There are things that you know as a Christian you should do. But Paul says, you know what? I don't do them. You ever feel like that? You know I should be reading my Bible more. I know I should witness. I know I should give. I know I should, right? All these things we know we should. But we fall short. Don't feel bad. The Apostle Paul was in that same boat. The things he knows he should do, he doesn't do. But even worse, he turns around and says, look, you know the things that I'm not supposed to do? Right? The things that you're not supposed to do. Paul turns around and said, you know what? Those are the things I do. You ever feel that way? There are things in your life that you're hanging on to that you know God is displeased with. Right? And you have that in your life. And Paul talks about that struggle that we have, because while we are still in this body, the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? And so in our lives, as we look at sin and what's in our lives, the first thing is we look at this wrestle that takes place and be honest with ourselves and say, you know what? This has a hold on me. I know, God, you're displeased by this. Or, Lord, I know you want me to do this, and I'm falling short of what you want me to do. Actually, take a look at what Paul says about himself at the end of this, verse 24 and 25. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You know, when I look at the perfection of God, and I look at myself, I am so unworthy. I fall so short. And I look at my life, and when I examine it, it's easy to fall into, oh, wretched man that I am. Right? And sometimes, even as Christians, we get to that point where we feel ashamed. Right? Sometimes we feel that dirtiness of sin. We've given into it, and you know, sometimes sin is joyful for a moment, but afterwards comes that guilt and comes that shame. Right? I don't think I'm the only one who has experienced that. Oh, wretched man that I am. But see, the key isn't just to be there. It's easy to kind of get to a point where you're wallowing in your sin and say, oh God, I've fallen short. Oh God, I can never do this. And we turn away from God. But that's the exact opposite of what we should do. Look at verse 25. He says, and I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who will deliver us? It's Jesus. It's Jesus that delivers us. The course is to love Him more, to accept His forgiveness. That, Lord, strengthen me. And within me, Lord, change my appetite for sin. I don't want to be this way anymore. I don't want to be this way anymore. And back in 1 John chapter 3, that's what he's talking about here. That he says, look, as Christians, you shouldn't be sinning. Now, I think what John is talking about isn't that you will never sin. As long as we're in this body, we are going to struggle with that. We are going to fall short on that. But do we live in sin? Is that a continual place for us? Or we are Christians who happen to sin. There's a big difference. And sometimes because of addictions or things that get a hold of us. And we need Jesus to free us from that. Right? That we shouldn't be comfortable in sin. But when we look at passages like this, you look at verse 4. It says, and this is back in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, whoever commits sin it also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. What it is these are the commandments of God. This is the laws of God. And sin is breaking that. Lord, I don't want to break your laws. I don't want to break your commandments. I don't want to be that anymore. Lord, change my appetite. Change my appetite. Lord, deliver me. I want to be free. And in here he goes on and talks about, look, verse 7 says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God has manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Just as we start off the chapter with, behold, what manner of love the Father, Lord, you've loved me. Wow. Lord, help me to understand the scope of the love you've shown me. Help me understand the scope. You know, why? Why does the Almighty God care about a broken guy like me? I don't know. But boy, I'm glad he does. Right? And that's a stir in us. That look, when we look at ourselves, and look, how can we be content living in sin? Because he talks about that sin is not from God, but of the devil. Wow, God, I don't want that in my life. But I don't want that to have a hold of me. See, over the course of time, oftentimes we see people who claim to be Christians who are fat and happy in sin. They're content in sin. And I scratch my head because how can a Christian who has the Holy Spirit in their life feel content in sin? Once again, not saying that we don't sin, we all fall short. I've gone through my life, actually when I met my wife, I was running from the Lord. I was rebellious. Things in my life hadn't worked out. I was angry and I was upset and I was mad with God. And you looked at my life, I was partying, I was doing all types of things. I was just outwardly rebelling against God. But you know what was going on inside? I was feeling conviction from the Holy Spirit of what I was doing wrong. I was miserable. My wife will tell you, she goes, I was sort of schizophrenic. Because at one minute, we were sitting around, they started talking about Bible things, and I could talk to the Bible. I grew up in church. You know, I know my Bible. I was talking Bible things. The next minute, I was talking mud and low-life stuff with the rest of them. I was going on both worlds. And I'll tell you, when I was alone with God, I didn't want to be alone with God. Right? In your life, do you feel that conviction of sin? Do you feel that? If so, right? we can turn that over to Him. Because He loves you anyways. We got to be careful because sometimes we look at that, we feel that guilt and the shame, and in there that kind of, we feel like that drives us from God. And we got to make sure it's just the opposite's true. That in here, He knows that, and He still loves us. And in here, He draws us closer to Him. So He can deliver us from it. Does that make sense? You know, it's kind of like, well, I know I'm sick, so I won't go to the doctor because I know he's going to tell me I'm sick. Right? That sounds like a guy thing. Well, I'm okay, I'll just rub some dirt in it, I'll be fine, right? I don't want to go to the doctor because if I go to the doctor, they'll tell me something's wrong, so I won't go to the doctor, and I'll just get worse and worse. Right? I know some of you guys have been that way, right? Same thing with God. When I feel that guilt, when I feel that shame, what I do is I need to go to Him. Experience His love, experience His forgiveness. And in that, to move on. To be healed from it. The worst thing we can do is draw back from that. The Bible talks about our hearts. And He talks about our hearts being seared and being callous. In the Old Testament, He uses a picture of your hearts being stone. Right? The worst thing that can happen to a Christian is to be so comfortable with sin that you no longer feel the Holy Spirit's prodding your heart. Where you no longer feel conviction. Where you've turned around and said, no, God. And God's been trying to get all your life. And you're like, no, God. He's like, God, Jesus reaches down and says, I want you to change. You know what you're doing is not right. And you turn around and say, no, no, no. Leave me alone. And your heart becomes so cold that no longer do you feel the Spirit stirring in your heart. But instead, what He wants to do is have that Spirit-filled heart. Well, Lord, I want You to have control. Lord, I don't want to keep anything from You. When I fall short, Lord, I confess it. Right? John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, forgives our sins and cleanses from all unrighteousness. Right? When I'm faced with that sin, when I'm faced with that guilt, when I'm faced with that shame, I can lay it down at the cross. And plead, Lord, I don't want to be comfortable in my sin. I don't want to excuse my sin. And 1 John says here in chapter 3, says, don't be deceived. Right? Don't let people fool you. You know, in our society today, there's so many people who are willing to tell you that the wrong that you're doing is right. Right? They'll cheer you on. We see it with the defining of marriage. We see it in the breaking down of the home. We see all these things, and the world is just cheering you on. You can go to find churches that will tell you that wrong is right. Because it's what you want to hear. And I love John pleads with these people, and I plead with you this morning. My dear children, don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. Because the only joy we can have is when we're in fellowship with Him. So in our lives, we deal with that sin that's in us. John chapter 3, verse 10. John brings in a different perspective on this. He says, verse 10, it says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Right? As now we are given the right to be called the sons of God, we talk about that in verse 1, that we can be called the sons of God. Right? Well, look, if we turn around and we worship God and He is our Father, then why are we acting like the other side? I don't want that. I don't want people to look at me and say, oh, wow, he's acting just like the devil. The devil was rebellious. The devil was self-pride and puffed up. I don't want to be like that. I want to be like my Heavenly Father. I want to be like him. I mean, growing up, it was funny because we grew up poor. And I remember going through, and my mom instilled in us, and we, you know, we got in the situation, we were doing things, and I wanted to quit, and I didn't want to do it. And my mom would say, wait a minute, you're a Tabor. Now, that means nothing to anyone else. And it probably meant nothing to us. But she turned around and says, you're Tabors. Well, what does that mean? She goes, you can do anything. And I remember hearing that as a kid. We take on projects and we want to quit. No, you can't quit. Why? Because you're a Tabor. Folks, I'm a Christian. Right? Why am I content in sin? Why am I content in justifying myself? Why am I content in settling? When I'm a God's kid. Right? I have God in my life. And in this we can be more than conquerors through Him. That's exciting things. And yet we so much want to be content. First sentence says, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. He lines it up. He goes, look, you want to say you're a child of God? How are you acting? How are you acting? I remember once we were out, I was just a little squirt. My poor mom, I don't know how she did it. She had, you know, 5 kids, and they didn't have ADHD. They didn't label anyone back then. We were just wild savages as kids. And so, you know, I remember mom taking us out, and something was going on, and us boys were messing around in the store, and in here we knocked some stuff over and all this. And I remember once, you know, people were starting to look. And my mom did one of these things like, I don't know these kids. You know, they're not mine. You know? Because of how we're acting. Folks, in how we act, we reflect our Heavenly Father. Do we reflect Him? Or to reflect this world. Take a look at this last bit. We talk about sin in me. That it's there. But I don't want to live there. I don't want to be content in it. I don't want to have it have control of my life. I don't want to be defined by it. That in here, I don't want to be like my Heavenly Father. I don't want to be like the devil. I don't want to be linked to Him at all. John brings this all back up in verse 13. He says something else that starts happening in our lives. Verse 13 says, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world what? What's it say? Hates you. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. Don't be surprised if you stick out like a sore thumb. Don't be surprised if you don't fit in. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Jesus talks about this in John chapter 15. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. I have a brother who just moved to Washington, D.C. And so he was sending me photos of, he lives like 2 blocks away from the Pentagon. And so he was showing me pictures of D.C. and all these things. I was like, well, that's kind of cool. And so I said, well, I'll send you some pictures where I'm at. And so I started Googling around and I pulled off a picture of Stockton Harbor and I sent him a picture of that. And he goes, oh, that's pretty. And I sent him, there's a picture online of the church going up through and the foliage in the background. I said, yeah, here's the church for that. He goes, oh, well, that's pretty. Well, it's funny, while I was Googling around, there's pictures of the church that's online with the swastikas and the paint. And some of you were here during all of that. And it just struck me. It's like, wow. Someone was filled with a lot of hate to latch out. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. Because we're not of this world. And I think oftentimes Christians, we get pretty comfy in this world. We've made ourselves at home. We do what they do. We act like they do. Right? And I got to warn you, because in here, if the world hates us because we love Jesus, if the world hates us because we don't go along with Him, if the world hates us because I love what God loves, that's one thing. Then so be it. Lord, help me stand with You. And you know what? They hate You, they're going to hate me. And that kind of rubs me wrong because I want people to like me. But I need to say, Lord, what You think of me is more important than what my neighbor thinks of me. But if the world hates me because I'm a jerk, then that's shame on me. Right? I remember talking to someone, and back when I was newly saved, I used to stand up for other Christians, you know? And no matter what, well, if they're a Christian, I'd stand up for them. Well, I found out over the years that there are a lot of Christian idiots. Right? You know, right? They're, right? And in here, that people hated so-and-so because they're an idiot, not because they're a Christian. You know, and if I go out and I'm abusive and I'm hating and I'm doing, right? If I'm the reason why people hate me, that's not on God, that's on me. Then shame on me. Right? So I got to make sure that my heart is right. Lord, if You're the offense, so be it. If not, if I'm the offense, then Lord, change me. But all this comes down to that basic understanding of what the Lord has done for us. That we are saved from sin to be set free. That we don't have to dwell in sin. We don't have to compromise in sin. We don't have to be like the rest of the world. And so, this morning we come back down to the choice. Okay, Lord, I've sinned. We're all in the same boat. I'm with the Apostle Paul. There's things that I know I should do, and I don't do them. There's things that I'm not supposed to do. Those things I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. But who will deliver me? Praise God for Jesus Christ. And greater is He that is in us than He is in the world. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. This is the extent He came to save you. And Jesus never fails. But will I have a heart of stone? Will I be content in my sin? Will I say, no God, no God? Or will I say, God, have Your way in my life? Create in me a new heart, O Lord. And renew a right spirit within me. Let's pray. Our Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us. Lord, that we have sin, we wrestle in sin, but Lord, help us not to dwell in it. Lord, free us. Lord, change us. Change my appetites, Lord. I don't want to be satisfied with sin anymore. Lord, I don't want to be content in sin anymore. But Lord, bring me in light, into Your light. Lord, help me live in Your love. Help me live in Your forgiveness. And Lord, change me into Your image, Lord. We ask this in Your name. Amen.